On our way to Philippians chapter 2, would you please turn to Luke chapter 19? Luke chapter 19. I promise you, if we get into this and we listen, it's going to help. There's going to be some encouragement. You're going to see that the Lord is with you. When it comes to this thing that we call the Christian walk, we need His help. It's not up to me. It's up to the Holy Spirit, how He takes and uses the Word. But let's just pray that God does a work for believers tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray again that You do that work. By Your Spirit, help us to discern, help us to glean, help us to listen. Lord, I pray that we'd have a passion for exactly what's being said here. In this dark hour in our nation, we need people that have a passion and a faithfulness and an understanding that it's not by might nor by power, but by Thy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You direct Your servant now. The words that are said that would make it plain and that we would wind up getting an understanding of what You said through Paul to the church at Philippi. So do this, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. I grew up in a strange family. Other people, you know, here we are in Los Angeles. Everybody in the church is University of Southern California fans. USC Trojans. We were UCLA Bruin fans. My dad was a plumber there. Go figure. Everybody in the church were Dodger fans. We rooted for the Angels. I mean, it just went on and on like that. All of a sudden, the big thing was to get a foreign car, you know, to really help. So people are getting Volkswagens. We got a Borgward. How many of you remember a Borgward? It's worthless. I don't even think they build it anymore. I mean, it was so ridiculous. So anyway, but there was one other place that we just didn't fit. When it came to getting out and doing something that was relaxing, everybody went fishing. What did we do? We went gold panning. Now, that way, how many of you like gold panning? I like it. You know, it's relaxing, it's good, until you start getting, you know, covetous, and next thing you know, you're ripping through stuff. We're going to see that a little bit, you know, tonight, later on in the message. But this has very much to do with a type of panning, a working. We need to hear this. Now, suppose, in all seriousness, suppose there was somebody that came to you, a wealthy person. Please follow, play the game. Come through with me on this. Suppose somebody came to you and they said, I have purchased a gold mine. I've purchased a gold mine. I have been told on good authority that this gold mine has a lot of ore in it. I want you to work it for me. And one of the reasons why I'm asking you to work this is because I am going to make you a co-owner of it of sorts. You will reap the benefit of getting the ore out yourself. Now, do you think that because of that, it might pique your interest a little bit? It just might do that. There's two parables that the Lord told in the Gospels. There's the parable of the talent, and there's the parable of the pounds. Now, I'm not going to get into big detail in this because we've got to get to the book of Philippians, but basically the same principle is there. Look, if you would, Luke chapter 19, look at verse 13. Actually, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to see for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, are they working gold mine? No. But they have something that they're going to be working. They are being given a resource, and he says, I want you to work, to take this and multiply it. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, now watch this, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good and faithful servant, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest thou that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? Now, let's go ahead and stop right there. In Matthew 25, it's about the talents. Here again, it's about the pounds. The bottom line is this. Somebody is given a resource, and they are told to take that and work it. And you notice that because here, and it's the same thing in Matthew, because those that were diligent took it and worked it, they gained. All right? So we understand that. I want you to take that same principle, that same understanding of someone who is given something to be able to work out and they prosper by it. I want you to take that and I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2, if you would please. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to cover, Lord willing, just 2 verses tonight, right after, just right next to where we had covered before. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, taking the 2 parables and understanding the principle there, the Apostle Paul, we are going to see, gives us another window and an understanding of what it means for us as believers to stop and say, you know something? I've been given something. I've been given something. It's not something that I earned, but now that I have it, I can work it out, not only to the glory of God, but to my own benefit. You don't know it, but in giving your testimonies, you added to what is written here. You added to it. In other words, what I mean is not added, but you showed exactly what we're talking about here. First of all, I want you to see this. You're going to see a commendation. When it comes to the church at Philippi, you're going to see a commendation. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. That's a commendation. By the way, there's an old saying. You've heard me use it before. If you see a wherefore or a therefore, you look to see what it's there for. What he's doing this one last time, coming away from chapter 1, one last time, he's hearkening back to verse 27. What does verse 27 say? Only let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's a lot we could say there, but I got a lot of ground to cover, so maybe I'll hearken back to that after a while. These people are his beloved. We've got a windstorm come that's all of a sudden come up. I thought there was a possibility we were going to be having hail. So, that's windy. Okay. Well, if the roof decides to go, women and children first. I don't know where, but women and children first. They always say that. But anyway, you got to understand, these people are his beloved. These are part and parcel of the people that he brought to Christ. Now, you know as well as I do that when it comes to the Apostle Paul and it comes to his walk in Christ, he wanted to see everybody grow to maturity in Christ. That was his passion. So, he's giving them a commendation. Praise God. He's recognizing in them that they have growth that they can do. Remember what he said to the people at Rome in Romans 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is what Paul desired for everybody, including the people in Philippi. He praised them for their faithfulness. Notice, this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you were faithful when I was there. You were growing when I was there. You were desirous when I was there. Praise God, you're still desirous. Remember what happened in John chapter 4? How many of you remember the story of the Samaritan woman? And remember, you know, she comes, she's getting water, etc., etc. And she went, after listening to Jesus, you know, like she said, he told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? They wound up inviting Christ and all the disciples to go with them there in Samaria to their village. And later on they said this. This is John 4, verse 42. Listen to what they said. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They're saying, you know what? We remember your testimony. But now that we have heard him, we're not relying on what you said. We've heard him ourselves. What Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 2 is this. You know what? You didn't just listen to me. You caught what Christ was saying, what he brought for you in your life. And because of that, when I left, you kept seeking him. Not because I was there, but because there was a passion that was born in you. Look, when I preached on revival this morning, it's not up to the pastor to keep the thing going. My desire is for people to get a passion for the Holy Spirit, for the work of God in their lives. I want people to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's all there is. Because you're going to be someplace where I can't go, or I'm not going to be. You know what I mean. When you're at the job site giving glory to God. When you're in your neighborhood giving glory to God. Why? Because of the preacher? No, because you've recognized what the Lord has done for you. And this is going to be an important part of the message tonight. It's the same principle. He's giving them a commendation. Thank you for your faithfulness. And by the way, thank you for yours. In a time when a Sunday evening service just is passé, you're here. I praise God for that. And you know what? It's not because I'm so smart, but this is an important message. You're getting something I wish the whole church could get. I wish so many more people could get. Because this is a place, honestly, where people wind up struggling. I just heard about somebody that was coming to our church for a while, and they're going to a different kind of a church. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say who it is. But I'm sorry, folks. We don't shop for a church like we do at Costco or Winco or some, you know, what is it that tastes good here? We it's not like we go to someplace fast food. We need to go where the Word of God is preached. Now, if they had, there are other churches I'd have said, praise God, you know, if that's where they want to go, if this isn't what, you know, they're where they believe the Lord would have them. But folks, I'm telling you, liberal churches don't cut it. Liberal churches that compromise and have the touchy-feely gospel, they don't cut it. And I'll tell that person that to their face if I get a chance. In love. In love. This is not a thing of competition. Please don't misunderstand that. We are looking at ominous days that will culminate in the time when we stand before God. I am looking at people with my glasses off, but I'm looking at people who one day will stand before the Lord. God made me an under-shepherd. I want you to be able to stand before the Lord and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You would too if you were standing right here, wouldn't you? You would too. So, watch this. He gives them a commendation. But then he gives them a charge. Go back to that verse. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now please hang on to me with this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is very important. Paul did not say work for your salvation. He didn't say work towards your salvation. He didn't even say work at your salvation. He said work out your salvation. He's talking to believers. Paul is saying, based on the example of the Son of God Himself that we just looked at earlier in chapter 2, he's saying this, how can we live based on what Christ showed us? How can we live any way else but total obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ? If the Lord did that, if He became a servant, a doulos, a bondservant, how can we do anything else? The answer is no, we can't unless we reject this calling of Christ in us. That word, the phrase there, work out, it's from a Greek word, and I'm not going to try and say it. It's a long word. But it carries this idea. This word right here carries this idea. Number one, trying to work out a math problem until you get the right answer. That's the first. It's been used in old times, in biblical times, in the Greek, for these three things. Number one, working out a mathematical answer. Number two, working out a mine, M-I-N-E, to get out the ore, to get out the gold. Number three, it was also used to describe working in a field and reaping a harvest. So with that, you catch the nuances, what Paul is seeking to say here. He said, I want you to work out your salvation. It's in the present imperative, middle imperative tense. What that means is this. There's a continuous emphasis. You keep working it out to its ultimate fulfillment. You know when that happens? When we die. From now until the time we stand before God, you and I are going to be working out our salvation. Now again, based on what we just looked at, what is it that Paul is seeking to say? The Bible tells us that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. We have also been given the presence of God, the power of God, the purposes of God. We have been given the will of God. We've also been given the Word of God. All that, please catch this, all that given to us takes a lifetime of working out, studying, working at, gleaning, pulling out, understanding, praying, meditating on, thinking, acting out, and responding to the Holy Spirit, an entire lifetime of learning Him. That's what that means. In fact, when you read this in the Greek, the phrase is actually flipped. He says, with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. That makes it very important. The Apostle Paul couldn't have said it stronger. Now look, this is what winds up happening. We trust Christ as Savior and praise God for that. What we wind up doing, if we're not careful, and this has happened to so many people that have truly been saved, they come to church, they hear messages, but they're not taught to apply. And by the way, a good chunk of the fault for that lies with pastors. This is why, though, we have Sunday school. This is why are you? This is why we have preaching services, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We gather together on Wednesday night, because what is needed is for somebody who has come into Christ to recognize that, for instance, there's a will for God in their lives. Do we have a command to give the gospel? Do we? Then there, right there, is so much in working out. What is the gospel? I mean, I've trusted Christ, but what are all the nuances in the gospel? How do I approach somebody with this newfound faith to give a reason for the hope that is in me, oh, by the way, with meekness and fear? How about prayer? This is why we study prayer. This is why we talk about prayer. Because there is so much to learn about prayer. Hey, how about godly living? What does it mean to live godly? I mean, we could be here and we could have a discussion, and praise God for discussions. But if I'm going to live godly, what do I do about drinking? Do I go to movies? How do I dress? What about the music that I listen to? What about how I talk? How I treat people? On and on and on and on. In so many areas, we wind up working out in our individual life. We work out our salvation. Now, why is it that we do it with fear and trembling? Why do you think it is? Well, first of all, we're going to stand before God, right? I mean, and there, standing before the Almighty Lord and Savior, there's going to be no popping a sham off on God. There's going to be no, I gave it my best shot. But you knew who I was living with, and you know where I live, wink, wink. There's none of that. Not only that, but what God has told us is He has given us so many, like we talked about, great and precious promises. Folks, He's given us an unbelievable and unfathomable gold mine. He's given each and every one of us spiritual gifts. Many times, more than one. And in fact, in acting out on the gifts, we can multiply the gifts. You see? So the Apostle Paul says, look, you have been given something that is so much more than a gold mine. What you have been given was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is what you do. You take it and you begin to study. You study God's Word. You pray. You get with other believers. You talk about growth. You listen to the preaching of the Word of God. You surrender your life. As the Lord shows you things, you lay aside the weights, you lay aside the besetting sins. And when something that you didn't think 10 years ago was a sin, you suddenly realize that, you know what, right now, if I do this, it'll hinder my Christian life, so I set it aside. You realize you've grown. You have been working the ore. You've been gleaning from the field. You have been separating, as the Bible says, the precious from the vile. That's what Paul means. He commends people. He commends the people there in Philippi. And again, for those that are faithful, you know, they have a desire, praise God for that. Not because the preacher keeps after you. Not because parents keep after you or whatever. But because you have tasted the heavenly gift. Now you're going after it. Paul says, listen, this is what you've got to do. Work it out. There's more. I stood back there one time, many years ago. There was a young lady that used to cut my hair. And got her to go and come into church. In fact, she joined the church. Even for a little while, she was one of our Sunday school teachers. This was many, many years ago. She got connected with a young man that was not good for her. When it came to the Christian walk, he said, I already know it all. Well, you know right away, he doesn't know it all, but he is a know-it-all. I don't know what's happened to them. I don't know. They wound up living together or whatever. And it just absolutely broke my heart. We don't know it all. Every one of us have more to glean from the fields. We've got more to get from the mine. We have more to work out as in a math problem. There are answers that we're going to need if the Lord tarries. There's answers that we're going to need 3 years from now that we don't need now. We don't realize that we need them now. Now, I know I'm working this as much, you know, a lot, but I'm emphasizing it for a reason. We need to go out of here recognizing we have been given something very precious. So he says, work this out. When we find out how precious this is when we'll understand what it means, fear and trembling. In fact, there's a verse that some people in the world, they would say, well, that's wrong. No, during this time, it was very much needed. In Ephesians 6, Paul is continuing to encourage Christians. He speaks to those that we're servants. And he says this in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Wait a minute. Servant being a slave, that's wrong. You know, aren't you glad to know that in Christ we're all set free? Slavery was cast out because of biblical Christianity. By the way, I love the fact that now on the $20 bill, we're going to have a gun-toting Republican on the $20 bill. Read the story about Mrs. Tubman. You'll like it. You'll absolutely like it. That's just for what it's worth. Look, we don't like it, but Paul said, those of you that are servants, you serve like you serve the Lord. That's called testimony. You see? The Christian does not dread a God who gives him something like this. He recognizes, look, this is precious. There's more to get. That word fear is from the Greek word phobos. That's where we get our word phobia. It means fright or terror, but it's not something in this instance that is to be shunned. We're talking about how our view is of God. William Carey, again, I've talked about him before, the father of modern missions, he wanted to get his fellow Baptists to get them involved in the Great Commission. He eventually, yes, landed in India. He was passionately seeking to get people to realize this. And a pastor said to him, young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, He will do it without your aid or mine. That man was wrong. He went on to seek by God's grace to please God, negating somebody's bad theology. And because he did, he worked, as it were, the oar. He worked the gospel with fellow believers. And because of that, the gospel not only went to India, it went to China, it went to other nations, and millions of people came to Christ because somebody worked out their own salvation. William Carey. Can you stop and think? Remember the thing that I read by Elihu Burritt this morning? Remember that all of us, to one degree or another, whether we like it or not, we influence either for good or bad. Imagine this. Christians, Faith Baptist, people say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work out my salvation before God with fear and trembling because it was God that gave me this salvation. It was purchased by His Son's precious blood, and He gives it to me, and He says through Paul, I want you to take this and I want you to work it. Just like those men in the parables of the talent, of the pounds. He said, occupy till I come. This is what that means. This is speaking about occupying, about working. And the Lord and the Apostle Paul work together to show us this thought. Work out your own salvation, he said, with fear and trembling. Why with fear and trembling? Once again, because of the weakness of the flesh, the ways of the world, and the wiles of the devil. We got to do this, because those things will bring us to our destruction. And then lastly, He gives us a companion. Look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When the Apostle Paul said work out in verse 12, he was talking about our responsibility. I'm almost done. He was talking about our responsibility. But watch this. In verse 13, The phrase worketh talks about God's part, and it's a different Greek word. It's the Greek word energeo. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. We'll just call it that. But it has the idea of God's enablement. So watch this. Here's the Lord, and He gives you a gold mine. He gives you some very wonderful and precious things. And He says, you work this enough, and you're going to find that which is beyond your imagination. But He says, even further, this is what I'm going to do. I will give you my Holy Spirit. And with my Holy Spirit, I will give you the energy to do what you've got to do. I'll never forget, Bruce, the first day I started with concrete. All of a sudden, you're recognizing you've got muscles that can be hurt that you don't have. We were pouring sidewalks going in to these condos. And there were entryways, and the dirt was, piled up. It was hardened, and we had to take picks and shovels and clean these things out. And they said, now this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be picking, you're going to be shoveling, and you're going to be dying. Your back is going to hurt so bad, you're going to scream. And then all of a sudden, your back is going to go numb. It did. But you just keep at it. And you know something? After a while, you know, the body adjusts, and next thing you know, hey, I'm doing this. Now, God made our bodies to adjust like this. When it comes to this, it's not the body that adjusts. It's the Holy Spirit. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The word will there means the desire. God desires you to get the ore out of there. He desires you to reap in the field. He desires you to work out that math problem to its conclusion. Jack London was an author. He wrote a book about a gold prospector. The gold prospector's name was Bill. Fictitious, but his name was Bill. He tells about a story how Bill came to this creek, small river, and he bent over. He knew there was gold in the area. He bent over, he got a drink, and he looked up in this area, and it was a valley, and there was kind of like a V that came down. And he thought, He took out his pick and his shovel, and he dug around some rocks, and he panned that area, and he waited till he got into the black sand. If you've ever gold panned, I loved it. And he found a few flakes. He went up a little further, and he found a few more flakes. And then he went up a little further, and he found more. Then he went up about 100 yards, and he started panning, and the flakes kind of decreased. So he backed off, and he started going in another area. Well, he kind of got excited. He started really working this one area, and next thing you know, he realized it just wasn't there. So he went back to what he was doing the first time. He started working all the way through a couple of football fields and found the area where it just kind of came in to a central location where the ore really was plenteous. And as he was working it, he realized what he had done over in this other area. He spent a lot of time that didn't need to happen. And as he was working the area, He just kept muttering to himself, slow and steady, slow and steady. One of the authors that I read on this passage used that story. And it was a good one. That's how we do this. This is what happens. Again, we talked about a Christian that they get saved and they come to church and they're listening to the Bible and their focus is on the person in the pulpit, the person in the chair. And they think, well, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go shopping at another church. And so they go and they find this way or that way. And next thing they know, what they're really doing is they're looking for what pleases the flesh, not what works the oar, and seeks by God's grace to glean out what God has for everybody. You know what God has for you? He wants everybody to walk out of here prepared and with a desire to work out their salvation. But again, with an encouragement. Because it's God that is right there with you. When you leave, God goes with you. And He says, tomorrow morning, hey, let's take out the Word of God. Let's take out my Bible. Let's see what I have for you this morning. In the prayer closet, what are the burdens in your life? Bring them to me. Remember what Christ said? Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You can take those. Learn of me. Remember what He said? Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know how you find that? When you're working. You work your salvation. And then you keep studying. And next thing you know, you can actually lead somebody to Christ. You don't have to fear if you knock on a door. You don't have to fear if somebody asks you a question. Because you can give an answer with meekness and fear. Hey, this is what God did for me. And when the difficult times come, personally or with somebody that you know, you've worked slow and steady. You've worked. And you know what you find out when you look back? You realize that so many times the energy didn't come from you. It came from God. He kept you going. He encouraged you. And it's going to continue until we all stand before Him. Let's stand.